your dreams are bigger, bolder, and more badass than the life you're living now, but something just keeps getting in the way. Join certified coach and former therapist Diane Wingert for the Driven Woman podcast. She'll show you how to get rid of whatever is holding you back so you can stop spinning your wheels and up-level your life. Get ready to hop in and buckle up. This is the Driven Woman podcast, and we're heading for the fast lane.
Well, hey there, and welcome back, Driven Woman. You know, this week's solo episode was supposed to be about something completely different. But every week on Tuesday nights, I have a Zoom call with my three adult children. We started doing this early on in the pandemic as a way of being up to date with each other, sharing our concerns, sharing information and resources, and simply to provide each other with a source of support during some times that were fearful, uncertain, and caused everyone to feel so much doubt. We had recently relocated out of state to Portland, Oregon, and all of my kids are still in California, two in the Bay Area and one in LA. And as time went by, we realized how much we all enjoyed these weekly calls. So even though the pandemic, at least in our part of the world, seems to be waning, we have continued to meet every week. Being a parent is really about the long game. When your kids are young, and especially when they're teens, you're so much in the thick of it. I now think of those as the active duty parenting years. But if you choose to become a parent, it can, and I think should be, a lifelong relationship. And that's what I'm working towards. All of us are at an age and stage now where I'd say I equally learn as much from them as they learning from me. And a conversation with my second son, Andre, led to what I decided to make this episode about. You see, he is experimenting with cryptocurrency and investing in Bitcoin. And that just happens to be one of the many things that I know absolutely nothing about. So Andre is teaching me about crypto and about Bitcoin and about all these new ways of investing and making money, which are completely different than what I'm accustomed to, stock market, real estate, and so forth. And we recently had a conversation about Bitcoin that led me to go down a little bit of an internet rabbit hole. You know the kind where it starts off innocently enough, and the next thing you know, it's 2 a.m., and you have no idea how you got there. Except for I have many years of experience with rabbit holes, so I know exactly how I got there. I digress. What I discovered was in the world of Bitcoin and investing, and I promise you, if your eyes are starting to glaze over and you're starting to think about scrolling away to somebody else's podcast, hold up. I promise you, if you are a regular listener of the Driven Woman podcast, this is going to be relevant, starting right now. Here's what I discovered. Bitcoin led me to something that is, I think, universally relevant, and especially relevant to those of us who are in business for ourselves, selling a product or service. Especially those of us who are personal brands, coaches, consultants, and service providers. What is the term, you ask? It's an acronym. FUD. Yeah, FUD. F-U-D. And it stands for fear, uncertainty, and doubt. Now do you see why I promised you this would be relevant? So let me pick up the pace just a little bit so I don't lose you. The term FUD, standing for fear, uncertainty, and doubt, was coined in 1975. But it actually goes back much earlier than that. In fact, a very similar term dates back to the 1920s, and an even earlier variation goes back to the 19th century. What is FUD? It is a term that is used to refer to propaganda tactics. Now, propaganda tactics, we obviously know, are a part of politics, but they're also part of sales and marketing, public relations, polling, media, and cults. FUD tactics, those who are designed to evoke fear, uncertainty, and doubt, have a very specific purpose. It's something they do really well. They influence the perception of those who are watching or listening by disseminating negative, false, or dubious information. The term fake news comes to mind. Now, why is this important to you? Because all of us, universally, whether we are in politics, whether we give two shits about politics, we are all being influenced both consciously and unconsciously because we are a part of our culture. We have unconscious programming anytime we've ever been influenced to buy something, and also influenced in the way we should sell something. There's both the unconscious programming that all of us get just by being exposed to hundreds of thousands of advertising messages every year, countless messages on social media, an untold number of messages through the news, through music, and just by being a human being who's going through life on this planet. We are all being subjected to messages upon messages upon messages. And we know from how the brain works that we have a selection bias. I've talked about it previously on this podcast. The selection bias means that the brain would easily get overwhelmed with a ton of information that contradicts itself, or better said, different pieces of information that contradict each other. The brain would get overwhelmed and confused. So we start to create a selection bias in our brain where we start to pay more attention to what sounds familiar because we've heard it before, while tuning out or just frankly completely discounting, denying, disregarding, and deleting things that are unfamiliar. And this is why it's so important for us to be aware, first, that all of this unconscious programming is going on. Secondly, how it works to create fear, uncertainty, and doubt. How we may be unconsciously and unwillingly participating in propagating FUD practices on our own customers, clients, and leads. We're going to get into that in a few minutes, simply because we are unaware of just how much of this propaganda we are being subjected to. You know, in the field of sales and marketing, billions upon billions upon billions of dollars are being spent to study human behavior. Specifically, human buying behavior. There's an entire field called behavioral economics, which studies why people spend their money the way they do. And that's very valuable information if you are a large multinational corporation who wants to get more of the money that people are spending. So being unaware, being blissfully unaware of these things simply does not serve us. Especially because just like a child who's growing up in a chaotic and maybe even abusive home may grow up to then have a chaotic and abusive home where they're raising their own children simply because it's familiar. So we need to be intentional and deliberate about how we run our businesses, how we market and sell our goods and services, and also very intentional and deliberate about what kind of influences we allow into our lives, our minds, and our businesses. I've become aware of something called scareware. Now, anybody who hasn't heard of malware, that's simply the type of computer virus in general or other hacker tactics. But scareware is a specific type of malware that is designed to evoke FUD. Fear, uncertainty, and doubt. This is not benign. There are, unfortunately, individuals in every country and every culture who have an agenda of making us afraid, making us uncertain, making us doubtful. Not so they could necessarily help overthrow the government, although we well know there are people who have an agenda to do that. But when people are going through times of fear, uncertainty, and doubt, and I dare say 2022, we are still in one of those times. We are 2+ years into the pandemic, and although things may be better where I happen to live, they are worse in many places of the world. You cannot own a TV set or even a smartphone without being aware of the war on Ukraine that is happening right now. You'd have to be a total recluse with no access to media to be unaware that there are a huge number of conspiracy theories and conspiracy theorists, and that trust between human beings is at an all-time low. Now, I understand that tough love and straight talk is how I serve people, but I am not here to create more fear, uncertainty, and doubt. What I'm here to do today on this particular podcast episode is to create awareness, because I think awareness is always the first step to safety and to positive change. So, what do you need to know about fear, uncertainty, and doubt? Well, some people like conspiracy theories. Some people really enjoy true crime. I think one of the reasons why so many people enjoy true crime is because of the very natural human nature curiosity, and because it's kind of fun to see if you can figure something out. But I also think a lot of people these days do not trust our authorities. They do not trust our police officers. They don't trust anything about the police. So true crime shows and podcasts and books and so forth, yes, they're entertaining. And yes, we can challenge ourselves to see if we can solve the mystery. And that's fun and exciting. But oftentimes, there's also the agenda that we don't trust the actual authorities. So we need to inform ourselves. Hey, regardless of your political leanings, regardless of what you believe about the men and women in blue, or anyone else for that matter, being informed includes being aware of all of the ways that others are trying to influence you. That way, you have informed consent. So coming back to being in business, I'm going to tell you a couple of little stories to personalize this. I have mentioned before on this podcast that I have had several complete careers. I'm learning that this is true of my kids as well. All three of my kids have had several careers, and they're only in their 30s. So I think this is just a thing for how we're wired, and I rather like it. One of my first careers was in sales, specifically medical sales, and I started, like many people of my generation, in pharmaceuticals. I worked for a big company, Pfizer Labs. I ended up working for several big pharmaceutical companies before I moved on to medical malpractice insurance and eventually medical implants, and then finally to another career. But here's the point. In my sales training with Pfizer Labs, a huge company, a very profitable company, a very well-regarded company, but I can see now that I've learned about FUD, fear, uncertainty, and doubt propaganda, I can see very clearly how the way I was trained to sell, the way I was trained to introduce my products to the physicians, pharmacists, and hospitals that I called on, skewed towards reminding them that if you stick with Pfizer, you're sticking with a known commodity, you're sticking with a known entity, you're sticking with the proven player. If you deviate from that and you start to prescribe the products of these younger, newer companies, specifically companies that were not US or European based, we would give them subtle messages that would cause them to doubt the safety of that decision. Because physicians take a Hippocratic oath to do no harm. Most doctors go into the field because they want to heal people, help people, cure people, or at the very least, alleviate their suffering. It doesn't take much, especially if you're skilled with words. It doesn't take much to instill a small amount of fear, uncertainty, and doubt about prescribing a less known product to keep them firmly in the fold with Uncle Pfizer, as we used to say. Those of us in the sales force would refer to Uncle Pfizer, kind of like Uncle Sam, right? Peace, justice in the American way. I was young. I was early on in my first career, and I was just proud to have a really good job with an expense account and a company car, and to work for one of the best companies with the best reputation. I did feel a little uncomfortable with being encouraged to slant the information I shared, always towards the positive for my company and slightly towards the negative for my competitors, always appearing as professional as possible. But when you are in a position of great responsibility, like a physician or pharmacist, you don't fuck around with that. And not surprisingly, I did really well with this company. I understand now there were many reasons why I did well. I've always been a hard worker. I've always been an achiever. I've always been driven. But I also was taught how to subtly use FUD to keep my customers my customers. If you sell your services to others, it's entirely possible that you have been influenced by some of these similar or same tactics in sales training that you've had. You know, I haven't really spoken that much publicly about my thoughts on the coaching industry at large, but I will be in a future episode because I am very frequently asked, why did I leave my career and close a very successful private psychotherapy practice to become a coach? One of the reasons people ask this is because they know that the coaching industry is unregulated. And as an unregulated industry, there really is no one who's protecting the public from unscrupulous coaches and unrealistic claims, claims of income, claims of impact, claims of get to six figures in 6 months or 6 weeks. And then when too many coaches are offering get to six figures in 6 months, then somebody has to come along and say get to seven figures in 7 months. And I think because the coaching industry is very fast growing, has zero barrier to entry, and is unregulated, while there are many, many highly ethical coaches who conduct their businesses with integrity, and I personally know quite a few, there are also many, many coaches who do not and have been taught by the coaching programs that they have invested in to stimulate buyers to hire them using fear, uncertainty, and doubt. I even saw this happen in my therapy career. It's almost like learning about FUD just lit a light bulb over my head, which was not a good thing considering it was 2 a.m. when I was going down this particular rabbit hole. But now that I see it, I cannot unsee it. Hey, it's Diane with a quick interruption to the episode because I've got a couple questions I just need to ask you. One, are you where you want to be in your business? Are you making the money you want to make, working the hours you want to work, seeing the clients that you want to see, and getting the income and impact that you went into business to get? And if the answer is no, what's holding you back? Why is there a gap between where you are and where you want to be? Do you know the answer? In my experience working with female solopreneurs, so many of them don't even really know what's standing in their way, and that is so frustrating. So I created a little quiz called What's Holding You Back? There's a link to it in the show notes. If this is you, please take the quiz. And if you do, DM me on Instagram at Coach Diane Wingert and let me know your results. Now, on the other hand, if you already know what's holding you back, if you already know what the obstacles are that are getting in your way, from achieving the income and impact that you deserve and desire, then I don't want you to take the quiz. Forget about the quiz. Go directly to the other link in the show notes and book a consult with me. I may be the very coach, and this may be the year that you put all of that behind you and really have the business that you went into business to have. For everybody else, keep on listening. And if you find value in what you hear, don't forget to leave me a rating and review on Apple or wherever you're listening. Here we go, back to the show.
Now, looking back, you know, a year from now to today, I'm a completely different person. Even, you know, from the very first day that I started to work with you, I realized things are going to be really different. I mean, actually, I know before we even spoke, when I heard you on that podcast, I thought, you know, this woman is exactly what I need. And there, honestly, I've never met anyone like you. And I'm so appreciative of everything that you've done. I mean, just sharing your experiences with everyone and being so open and honest, and just seeing you and how you interact with other people and how you share your experiences has helped in that recalibration in my own mind, because now I can accept myself for who I am and I don't have to apologize for who I am. Who I am is who I am, and I love who I am. I'm not perfect by any means, no one is, but I'm freaking awesome.
Some of my therapist colleagues were very proud of the fact that they would continue to see the same clients for many, many years. Now, when I was a little more verbally uninhibited than I am now, and one of my colleagues was bragging about how he had been seeing the same therapy clients for anywhere from 15 to 25 years, I blurted out, "Shame on you." Of course, he was appalled, but I said, "Do you mean to tell me none of them ever get better?" And what I realized over time was that, especially for therapists who are in a crowded market, in a very competitive market, and are trying very hard to hold on to their clientele, aka their livelihood, their income stream, there's a subtle form of FUD that goes on between a therapist and their client when the client has healed whatever trauma, loss, abuse, or addiction brought them to therapy to begin with. They've worked through it. They are back to their baseline. They are now healed, healthy, and whole. So why are they still going to therapy? The standard answer that most therapists will tell you is, "We have so much more work to do." I was just interviewed for another podcast this week by the brilliant Laura Khalil, and she was sharing with me how when she reached a point after going to therapy for a few months, she felt like, "I'm good to go. I got what I came for. I've worked through this issue, and I feel like I'm ready to move on." When she introduced that concept to the therapist she was seeing, the response she got was, "Oh, but we have so much more work to do." Now, here's the thing. One of the main reasons why I'm no longer a therapist and why I'm now a coach is not because I decided to go to the dark side, which some people have jokingly accused me of, but because therapy is focused on insight and healing. And I personally came to believe that there is a limit to the amount of insight and healing one can actually benefit from. Once you have gained a fair amount of insight and you are healed enough, I think the way to solidify those gains is to stop going to therapy and integrate what you've learned from the therapist in your day-to-day life on your own. Now, this is not true for 100% of people. It is not true across the board. And there are a small percentage of people who actually require, for whom it is actually medically necessary for them to be in long-term ongoing therapy. But that is an infinitesimally small percentage of people. The goal of coaching is not insight and healing. The goal of coaching is growth and change. So I see it like this. If you have abuse, trauma, addiction, loss, to heal from and gain insight about why these things happened and your response to them, by all means, see a therapist. But I think graduating from therapy should be something that both you and the therapist can celebrate together, where they I would think of it as releasing you back to the wild instead of being in captivity, releasing you back to your real life, which does not take place in a 50-minute hour once a week on someone's couch. That's just me. That's my opinion. I stand by it. And I think I have the credentials to have that opinion from a vast amount of experience. I have a lot of respect for therapy and for therapists, but I do think that oftentimes the client knows when it's time to leave, and what they get from the therapist is FUD, fear, uncertainty, and doubt. Along the lines of, but how do you know that the reason you're doing so well isn't because you're coming here and seeing me every week? What makes you think you're going to continue to function and feel so good, this good, without this level of support? It's not a bad question. But if you are currently in therapy and you are feeling like, I feel like I'm good to go, and the therapist is casting shade on that, that's FUD, my friend. And I would address it directly. My son, Andre, who introduced me to the topic of Bitcoin and investing, which led me down the slippery slope to our topic of the day, FUD, is currently working for a company where he is training driverless cars. Now, I can just imagine in the future how all of the car manufacturers who have chosen not to get involved or invest in any way with driverless technology, how they are going to have massive campaigns solely or largely based on FUD tactics to keep people in their front seat of the car, not the back. When I first heard that he was planning to work for this company training driverless cars, I got nervous. And we had a great conversation about it. And I realized that I've probably already been exposed to messages that driverless cars are unsafe. But at the very least, I have doubt about their safety, and I'm uncertain whether I can trust them or not. As I've said before, I think trust is at an all-time low. And another reason why this is so important is because so many of us have taken to marketing and selling our goods and services online in the last few years. The number of people who have started online businesses just since the pandemic is huge. And this is a wonderful thing. But a great number of the programs that we have all been subjected to, because they're the big names, the celebrity gurus, celebrity coaches, celebrity online entrepreneurs, if you really look at the tactics that many of them teach for how to win at selling your goods and services online, whether you are talking about coaching, consulting, groups, courses, memberships, ebooks, private podcasts, you name it, many of the techniques we have all been subjected to are unconscious FUD programming. I mean, let's think about all the scarcity mentality, the buy now bonuses, the limited offers, the only three spots left. I know a very small number of very courageous, very honest online entrepreneurs who not only refuse to engage in these tactics, but who are openly critical of them and are holding the banner for all of us to do better. It's not just sales tactics. It's, if you think about all the MLMs out there and how they actually function. In my opinion, the majority of them bear a very strong resemblance to the tactics used in cults. I happen to be currently living in Oregon. Turns out there are quite a few cults here. I didn't know that before I moved, but I've become familiar with them since I've been here. And there are a lot of these tactics at play. Another one is NLP. NLP is something that a lot of people are very proud to say, I'm a certified NLP coach, or I am trained in NLP technology. NLP is basically a backstage pass to how to manipulate people for profit. It's how to use what we know about human nature and the human brain to your advantage. Now, if you're a good NLP teacher, you're probably selling it as basically good marketing and good selling is just solving problems and showing people solutions to the problems they have. But if that were 100% honest, isn't it also true that sometimes you're not the solution? I don't know too many people that are acknowledging that. Seems to me every time I hear someone saying, follow our system for marketing and sales, it's not sleazy, it's not slimy. You're just helping people solve their own problems by showing them the solution. How come you're always the solution, right? So I just wanted to bring this topic to our mutual attention because I think we all need to do better. I think it should be no surprise to anyone that trust is at an all-time low. We've had major political unrest in the U.S. for a number of years now. We have all kinds of fear, doubt, and uncertainty about the pandemic, about the vaccine, about masks, all of that. There's so much fear and doubt about doing business online, and consumers are becoming more challenging because some people say they're getting more sophisticated. I think that's true. But getting more sophisticated can also be loosely translated to too many of them have gotten burned. Too many of them have gotten ripped off, exploited, and many of them even abused. Abused by buying into systems that overpromised and underdelivered, and that trained them to do things in order to get their own clients that while they may be effective, they don't feel good about. So if any of this resonates with you, I would love it if you would DM me on Instagram at Coach Diane Wingert, or if you prefer LinkedIn, Diane Wingert Coaching. I really do want to be part of the conversation about how we can have more honesty, more integrity, and more common decency when it comes to how we conduct ourselves, both in our businesses and in the rest of our lives. The fact is, we really are all in this together. And no matter what your belief system, all humans are in some way connected. The lack of trust between us hurts us all. And there's only one solution, and that is to stop doing things like FUD. We can do better. I want to be part of that change. Let me know if you're interested in joining me. All right, that's another hard-hitting solo episode. I hope it didn't clunk you too hard over the noggin, but this is not to scare you, and this is not to call you out. This is because I think owning your own business and marketing what you do and inviting people to work with you and selling to them can be joyful and can create lasting relationships of genuine mutual benefit. I don't think we have to do anything that looks like or feels like propaganda, no matter who has told you otherwise. Okay, Driven Women? That's all for now, and I will see you again next week with an amazing guest interview.
You've been listening to the Driven Woman Podcast with Diane Wingert. Want more straight talk and strategy each week that will take you from spinning to winning? Don't forget to hit subscribe in your podcast player so you won't miss a single episode. Then head on over to the Driven Woman free and private Facebook group community. See you there.